So, the Pope, the Pope's home country is Poland. He was, that's where he was born. He's going back to Poland. And a lot of people think he's going up there, visit it, and then come back and resign. Okay. The Polish government, the Polish people and the government, made a special commemorative coin commemorating his seventh trip to Poland. But he's been there 9 times. So that's, now that's real Polak. That's, I'm gonna call Leonard when I get home and ask him if he's the one that minted that coin. Well, we're going to begin tonight on a very interesting subject. When I first started my internet manipulation, I had a huge audience. And we were getting hits from all over Europe like you wouldn't believe. And so I thought, this is wonderful. Then I put out an interpretation of the woman on the scarlet horse. My clicks from Europe stopped. I mean, boom. But at least I know they read the thing, and at least they were told. So they're very sensitive about this. Now it is, now I'll tell you what the Catholic Church teaches. They teach that the woman is Israel. And they have an elaborate doctrine where they have this woman sitting on the beast as being Israel. It's an interesting thing. Sometimes I get a chance, I'll tell you about it. But there is no question who the woman is. Now, one of the things that you know I'm very dogmatic about, I'm a stickler about, is you've got to take the time it was written and the people it was written to if you're ever going to have any hope of making the correct interpretation. So what you see on this screen is the known world. John wrote the book of Revelation about 95-96 A.D. And this was the Roman Empire about 120 A.D. And you can see all these numbers up here. Here's 45, 46. Here's 53, 52. You can see all these numbers up here. 1, 2, 3 in Spain. And at one time, it even included the Parthian Empire over here, at least for a brief period of time. Each one of these had a king or a governor or both. And Rome had the Caesar. The Caesar appointed the governors, and he appointed the kings. And each one of these that has a number all the way up, I see 53 here, there may be higher than that. And each one of them had a governor or a king or both. Now Rome sat right here. And this was the known world of John's day. I showed you how the other areas were known all the way to India. And I showed you why I believed that the prophecies in both the Old Testament and the New Testament apply to the area, the maximum extent of the area that all of the empires of Assyria and Egypt and Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome covered. So with that in mind, and looking at the world situation, this scripture does not leave any doubt whatsoever as to who the woman is. That's why I put it first in Revelation 17, 18. John says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Now, any time in the book of Revelation, if it says the great city or the city, and it doesn't specify which city, it's Jerusalem. But when it specifies the great city, you have to take what's written to determine which city it is. So the only city that existed on the entire earth at that time that reigned over the kings of the earth was Rome. So this is about the city of Rome. Now, you have to understand that from the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, you had a whole series of Roman empires. They got assassinated, killed, one thing or another, like some churches changed preachers. There were a whole slew of them. And they had what is known as emperor worship. And you were expected to worship the emperor. Now, under one emperor, it would be really enforced. Under another, it would not. Under Diocletian, the church was severely persecuted. A lot of the church members were martyred, killed, butchered. Then they'd get in a good emperor who'd leave them alone. He'd be followed by a bad emperor who'd persecute them. So they have gone through a whole series of problems with the city of Rome. And the woman is pictured as the city of Rome, and she is full of the devil's demons and spirits, and she is looked upon as being the seat of the devil at that time. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy. John has a vision out in a barren area. Doesn't specify what barren area. And there, I think it means spiritually barren area. It looked very barren. It was spiritually barren. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, remember the first beast, the color is not specified, but it had a body like a leopard and a head like a lion. And so, in this particular one, the color has changed. The first beast had a scarlet head. It was bleeding. Now, all of a sudden, you've got the whole beast that's scarlet colored, which I believe is tied in with the resurrection of the seventh head on the first beast, who becomes the second beast with Satan incarnate in him, having been the power that resurrected him from the dead. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Now, I think that probably implies that this beast, at this time when John sees it, has a whole lot of different types of blasphemy in it. When the Catholic Church broke away from the true churches and began to form its own hierarchy, the way it grew to such great extent, it aligned itself with the emperors of Rome, and when they would go in and conquer an area, the church would immediately go in and baptize all the people there, and in order to get them to be baptized, they would agree to incorporate into what they believed some of the pagan beliefs that these pagan religions believed, and everything was hunky-dory, and the church grew. But it was nothing but a beehive of hierarchy and sin, having seven heads and ten horns. Those are the same seven heads that affected and afflicted Israel, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and now the Antichrist, who was the seventh head, has become the whole beast. And ten horns. The ten horns are, I believe, Islamic nations. I believe it will consist of Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, and the Palestinians in the interior of Israel. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. The woman wears the royal color purple. And instead of being simplistically white, throughout the Bible, righteousness, goodness, kindness, purity, moral purity, is associated with white. This is just the opposite. It's royalty, proud and haughty, and dressed like a typical harlot, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The water that we receive is the water from God, pure spiritual water. What they drink is a mixture of ungodliness, and they are fed by abominations and filthiness, and they have gotten in bed with the world and with the devil, and are considered by God to be in absolute, unredeemable prostitute, a whore. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. But the mystery is revealed in verse 18 that he's talking about Rome. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. When Jesus was here, he delivered a very simplistic set of teachings. They were not complicated. He organized a local church, and the ones he chose had repented toward God, had their faith in the Messiah. They came to John, repenting toward God, with their faith in his promise of Messiah, and John baptized them, and he was the only man on the earth that had that authority. Now, when Jesus chose them, he chose them because God had had John prepare them, and God literally gave Jesus these disciples. And the head of the church himself went down to be baptized by John, and everybody in the first church was saved and scripturally baptized and coveted together to carry out the work of God. And Jesus was with them. He was the foundation on which they were built. He was the head and the leader. Now, what happened? Well, there are some heresies listed. There was a heresy that arose that Jesus had already come. This was in Paul's time. And that these two said Jesus, the coming had already occurred. There were other heresies that indicated baptism was also necessary in order to assure salvation, and they were so identified as heresies in the book of Acts and in the other epistles. As these heresies arose, the churches began to be divided on their doctrinal beliefs, and soon within each church there would arise some man who wanted the preeminence, like Diotrephes that John wrote about in 3 John, and they would take out a group of disciples that would be followers of their version of the teaching that Jesus had once delivered to the saints. Now, the teaching that Jesus listed is very simplistic. You must be saved by salvation through grace. You must be baptized by the proper authority, by the local church. It must be a church that God recognizes as his church. And you must practice the other ordinance in the manner that he directed, which is among yourself as a fellowship together. We do not exclude people from church to get rid of them. We exclude them from taking the Lord's Supper with us. They're perfectly free to come here, but it's a fellowship where we come together as a body in moral attitude that is proper toward God, and we fellowship together and with Christ, who is present in every local church that preaches and teaches the Word. When we don't let a person take the Lord's Supper, it's because we see in their life they are doing things that are a violation of what God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that made them eligible to take the Lord's Supper. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. So as the Roman Catholic Church grew, there were pockets of what were known as Anabaptists that you could find everywhere. We are the descendants spiritually of the Anabaptists. Anabaptist means rebaptizers. What would happen? Someone would get involved with one of these churches that practiced all these pagan practices, and they would get so immoral and so ungodly that when they came to one of these Anabaptist churches and wanted to be a part of the fellowship, they would rebaptize them because they did not believe that the other Catholic churches, universal churches as they were called, that's what Catholic means, they didn't believe they were scriptural anymore. And I think they were right. And they would rebaptize. Well, how far back did the Anabaptists go? One of the greatest Catholic writers of all time made a very serious mistake. The Catholics burned most of our buildings, burned all of the writings of the Anabaptists. Almost impossible to find them. Once in a while you do find some. But what happened was, this Catholic writer, who was one of the greatest of the Catholic writers, was writing in one of his books about these cursed Anabaptists who go all the way back to Jesus Christ. That's where we started. And we weren't rebaptizers then because there wasn't any necessity to rebaptize anyone. But the Catholic Church and the branch that split off of it became so ungodly and heretical that it was necessary to rebaptize people that came from it because they were doctrinally unsound and their baptism was not scriptural, because the baptism authority was with the church. And if the church is not right with God, then their baptism is no good. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. They began to heavily persecute the Anabaptists. This little book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Very interesting book. And it tells what all the Catholic Church did to our forefathers, the Anabaptists. Now, I had a whole bunch of little books up here, and heaven only knows what happened to them. They were Trail of Blood, and I don't see them up here anymore. But I'll try to remember, and I know who came this week, and I'll try to give one of you all each one of those, because they're worth reading. And it goes back and tells the history of the Catholic Church. Here's a few of them here. I don't have enough to go around. Then if you want to pass these out, Bob, I'll let Bob do it. Because Bob's not selfish like Kenneth. I know. I'll find some more. I had a whole slew of them around here. Now I don't know where they are. I bought a bunch of them. No telling. Wait a minute, is that another one there? Yeah, here's another one. Man, this is like an Easter egg hunt. Just like an Easter egg hunt. Geraldine gets old. She's probably not going to last more than a couple of weeks. Lord have mercy. Let's see. See if we got anything else under here. Geraldine, I'll give you one Sunday morning. Be sure and brush your teeth. I won't give you one if you don't brush your teeth. Okay. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood. I know the people on this listening on these tapes wonder, what kind of a church is that? And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Some of those martyrs are recorded in the Bible, and there were literally thousands and thousands of them. Some say millions, back during the Dark Ages. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, you'll see that word frequently in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if I were to say, I looked upon Bob Christie with great admiration, well, first of all, I'd be lying. But now, here's what that word admiration means. It means shocked. Ah, look at that. Now, that's the way I look at Bob Christie. And that's what that means. It means shocked. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. Now, remember that beast that came up out of the water? He said, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore setteth, Rome sat on the Tiber River. And just a few miles down, the Tiber River opens up into the Mediterranean Sea. And the woman sat on the Tiber and was the kingpin city that ruled over all nations. And so the whore sat right there. Now today it's become the Vatican. When John wrote this, the hierarchy was just forming, starting. Now it's fully organized and has its own government, and it's called the Vatican in Rome. Where the whore sat are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Well, who were these people? Remember the chart I showed you? 53 nations there, 53 provinces. Those were the peoples. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the people in that particular area. And now her influence has extended over a much greater area. The Catholic Church began to expand rapidly because of its liberality and because they taught baptismal salvation, always have, just about. And they would get people to join, because who wouldn't go in the water? And they had baptists like we had back then in the early stages. Who wouldn't go into water to get saved? That's all it takes, man. I want to go in there. And so people were very easily swayed to become Catholics simply by going into the water. And they had a system for sin, and wasn't a bad one. You went down and confessed your sin to the priest, and slip him money behind the back, confess your sins to him. He'd tell you certain things you needed to do to get the sin purged. They were called indulgences. And the priests sold indulgences. They'd sell you an indulgence, you'd do the indulgence, and your sin would be forgiven. And the 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now, this is the problem. These people hate the whore. So those 10 horns, those 10 horns cannot be European, because the religion of Europe is Catholic, either Orthodox or Roman Catholic, one or the other. Now the 10 horns on that beast, they hate the whore, so they can't be Catholic. If they can't be Catholic, they can't be European. So who are they? Well, I'll tell you exactly who they are. They're all Islamic faith followers. They're all followers of Muhammad, whose God is Allah. In the last 2 years, I have never seen such a rapid change in the attitude of the Catholic Church toward Israel and toward the Islamic faith in the Arab countries. They have switched 180, and the majority of Catholics in Europe now, and the Pope himself, favor the Islamic Arabs more than they do the Jews. And it's growing more that way every day. Now, once the Antichrist makes his move and heads south and is wounded, but recovers from the dead, supposedly, the Pope, who has the authority to confirm whether somebody that died 100 years ago can now become a saint, who has the right to sit in a chair and speak immatatoriously and proclaim a new truth or any truth, he's going to claim that this resurrection from the dead was a genuine miracle, and he's going to be the false prophet that gets on the side of the Antichrist, who will be from the Islamic faith. And at first, the woman will ride on the beast. She'll ride on these 10 horns. She'll ride on the final Islamic beast. The beast is Islamic. The woman is Catholic. And they are strange bedfellows. But the beast will want her support, need her support initially. But the Islamic faith despises the Catholic faith and everything it stands for. and they only use her as a matter of convenience. In the many Islamic countries that stretch from French Morocco on the western coast of Africa, across northern Africa, across the Middle East, up into southeastern Europe, across Turkey, all the way across India, and down into Indochina. They're loaded with Catholic churches, loaded with them. And once they're finished with the beast, the false prophet, once they're finished with the Catholics, the false prophet doesn't care anything about the Catholics. He's the crony and buddy of the Antichrist. And so here's what they'll do. And shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They'll burn down every Catholic church in all their countries. Now, this is how this all gets together, and these strange bedfellows come together. Verse 17. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Don't ever forget for one moment that God's in control of all of this. That's what makes my job easier. God's in control. And if God says something is going to happen, he can take the strangest bedfellows you've ever seen and put them together. He can take the clay and the iron and hold it together long enough to fulfill his will. And that's what he's going to do on the 10 toes. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things, we continue on to the next chapter. I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried with a strong voice. We'll stop right there, take a break, and come back afterwards. Yeah.